This FPL season has definitely been go, go, go. A nonstop hustle all the time. Matches, deadlines, unexpected blank and double game weeks, on top of everything the real world has had in store. Sometimes you need a moment to turn off and hit reset. That's when you reach for Coors Light. It's made to chill. For me personally, supporting Fulham during this last year has been a true roller coaster ride. Honestly, when that Adama Traore goal flew past Areola in the 92nd minute of game week 31, the only thing that saved my mental state, the only thing that calmed my nerves, was cracking open a Coors Light. There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. The mountains on the bottles and cans even turn blue when your beer is cold. That way, you always know when it's time to chill. When you need to hit reset, just open a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill. And listen, everyone, summer is pretty much here. It's about to get hot in New York. An ice-cold Coors Light is such a perfect way for me to beat that summertime heat. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light and the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And as always, celebrate.
Hey, all cheaters, and welcome to the Always Cheating Fantasy Podcast, brought to you this week by betonline.ag. My name is Josh, and I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
Josh, just think back. Roughly 5 years ago, we started the Always Cheating Podcast. Mm-hmm. A couple weeks later, we started talking about game week 26 of the 2019-20 season.
Yep.
Years later, here we are.
200 episodes.
It's an incredible journey, and I thank God it's almost over.
Yeah, I wonder if... How much do you think it was the Man City game getting delayed? If that doesn't get delayed, are we more positive about this winter break? Because as it is, it sort of feels like we just had two international breaks. It does not feel like we got football both weekends the way I thought it would. It kind of feels like we just had like a weird, like a couple of like FA Cup matches or something. You know, it's a little, it was a strange vibe coming out of this weekend.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And there's the kickoffs, too, having the early kickoff, no midday kickoff, followed by the late kickoff, is also jarring as well. It's like, I feel like I then have to be productive in between those two kickoffs. Maybe I have to leave the house, run some errands.
Yeah, you can't just sit around for 5 hours. You know, you got to do something. It was just, I think it was kind of a... Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I was trying to, you know, I think I mentioned a couple weeks ago on the podcast, I've been trying to be more positive. And so I don't want to look at this through like a negative lens, but I'm not like overly negative anyway. But yeah, I feel like if I were to do it again, I would just split it. If I were, you know, I don't know if anybody who's listening to this podcast has any involvement with, you know, the sort of the architecture of the fantasy game itself, but I would just split it into two game weeks. You know, I would just have two abbreviated game weeks with five teams in both, kind of like you get with some of these later FA Cup weekends, and force people into, you know, do I play a free hit chip here? Do I only field seven players or whatever? I mean, if you had five in both weekends, or even four, really, that'd be eight teams. That'd be enough. It would force a lot of interesting decisions. But I think as it is, it sort of feels like about 4 or 5 weeks ago, we set our teams for game week 26, and we haven't been able to make any decisions or really do anything since then. And it's kind of taken a little bit of the fun of doing fantasy. You know, it's sort of like, it feels like you could just sort of check out for 3 weeks, which I guess is fine if that's, you know, right. You know, I guess if you're not creating a weekly podcast, maybe that's fine. But I think for me, I'm like, okay, I'm excited to talk about a new game week in this
baseball. Right. And I think that's what the fun of having so many game weeks, 38 of them, is the active rhythm of it and the cycle of decision making and transfers and all of that. And yeah, I do get that sense that we've been robbed a little bit of that active momentum during the winter break. But your suggestion of doing 39 game weeks, splitting the winter break into two game weeks, I fear for all of those OCD managers out there. You know, do you ever watch Monk, the OCD detective.
I've actually never seen it, but I know it. Yeah, yeah.
You're aware of the premise anyway.
Sure.
But the those managers out there that just couldn't reconcile in their brain of like, there are 38 match weeks, but somehow there are 39 FPL weeks. This won't do.
Yeah, although I think that's true. But I mean, I feel like before I started doing fantasy, I wasn't thinking in a match week lens. You know, I wasn't like in my head like, oh, I can't wait till match week 28 when Arsenal play Newcastle or whatever. I was just like, oh, I can't wait till that match in late March or whatever. You know, I feel like knowing exactly what match week we're in at all times is really something only fantasy managers. I mean, maybe like, you know, if a team's like about to win the league or something, I feel like you're not like, oh, match week 38 could be when, or match, you know, 35 or whatever could be when it happens. You're just like, the late April, you know, Manchester Derby is when this match could, or when the league could get clinched or whatever. It's not like
you'll know it by where the sun the sun is in the sky. You'll know where we are in the season. Yeah. That sort of a thing.
I use my sundial. Yeah.
Speaking of where we are in the season, you and I were talking about this right before we hit record about how it does feel like we're in this transitional. I mean, one of the many transitional points in a season, and right now it feels like we're just creeping up on potential blanks and knowing when big double game weeks are going to be. And still there are players that aren't, I mean, we'll talk about Arsenal and maybe some Spurs midfielders that are suddenly emerging, but we're still not 100% sure who the ascendant players are for the home stretch. So I think that's our mission for this episode of Always Cheating, is to talk about who's worth a transfer. Yep. Particularly as we're heading into game week 27 beyond.
Exactly. Who's worth a precious transfer, right? There's only 12 free transfers left on the season for all managers. More like 11 if you're going to play a wild card in one of those game weeks. So not a lot of transfer decisions to make, at least for free, you know, without costing you a points hit. And so that's the theme, is just, you know, who's actually worth it? Who's worth spending a transfer on? And I think the later the season goes on, the more conservative I get in some ways. Even if I'm chasing, I'm, you know, the first 10, 15 weeks, you've got promoted teams, you've got squads are just sort of emerging, you know, a Danny Ings type, right? Those are sort of, you're like, we all kind of thought we knew the score with him, right? And then and he just sort of went off and then late fall and sort of emerges a key fantasy asset. But by the time you get to the late, like game weeks 20, you know, 25, you know, close to 30, I feel like I know the score, you know, I sort of know who I want. Weirdly, it actually almost makes a transfer trickier, because you're like, well, I know that Jack Grealish is worth holding because I've had him for this long and he's delivered for me pretty consistently. And so it's almost harder to say goodbye to some of the key players in your team. So I thought, yeah, we could just talk a little bit about players that might be worth actually spending a precious transfer on it. So that's the theme of this week's podcast. But first, Brandon, even though we have two matches left, there's one tomorrow. You and I are going to the Black Horse for that. Would that be fun? Yeah, yes. Manchester United, Chelsea, or I should say Chelsea, Manchester United, because of the host club. And then the rescheduled Man City match with West Ham on Wednesday, which it was already going to be kind of an unusual match just because neither team has played in whatever it is, you know, 7 or 8 months. But now with Man City possibly out for the next 2 years for the Champions League, it really makes you wonder what that does to the squad. I mean, do they come out angry, you know, or do they does Pep put all the, you know, does he sort of give up on the Premier League entirely, you know, put everything into winning Champions League this year? It's really hard to predict, I think. I don't think we're even going to try to predict it, really. But it'll be really interesting to see how that plays out over the next couple of game weeks.
Yeah, I agree. I definitely err on the side of, I think one of the issues with Man City this season is that they haven't been emotional enough or angry enough responding to challenges that they see presented by Liverpool. If anything, I think they just get their brief from Pep. They're told what to do, and they try to do it. So I think it's just going to come down to how Pep wants to play this out. Is he going to throw all his eggs in the Champions League basket? I mean, this would probably be the narrative anyway, even if this potential two-year ban wasn't in the cards, because the league is already out of their grasp. Champions League was always going to be City's focus late in the season. Mm-hmm. But now I think it's just like, you know, multiplied by 100. What do we know? Like, how certain are we that their appeal will succeed or fail?
Well, I feel pretty certain that it won't go into effect next season because they have to go in front of the Court of Arbitration for sport. And I think that I read something like that case, you know, cases that go before the Court of Arbitration for sport, the CAS, are they typically take like more than 6 months to legislate. I mean, it's not like you just get to like move to the front of the line, right? So so I think that it probably wouldn't impact this upcoming season as long as that court case goes through as planned. So I think that we'd be looking at, you know, two seasons from now where they would actually serve that ban if it went through. I still kind of feel like it's going to get tested. It's somehow they're going to throw it out and they're never going to miss, you know, one single Champions League match. But we'll see. I think, you know, a year from now, we could still be talking about what's going to happen with this case.
Speaking of dragging things out, let's check in on our game week 26
sure.
scores.
Yeah.
When last we spoke, I had 4 points. That was after 3 matches. Now this week I have 44 points. Isn't that funny?
Hey, that's funny.
That's pretty wild. Yeah. So my defense came through a little bit with Trent and Soyuncu with cheeky bonus points. So mm-hmm. 7 apiece from them. Lascelles, I decided to start him over Lundstrom. The temptation, as you and I were discussing, was, you know, I'll take a starting captain on Newcastle. You really have no idea ever what to expect. What Arsenal team is going to show up right now, nor do you know what Newcastle team is going to show up right now. So I felt it was worth a gamble to play Lascelles over Lundstrom, just given that we knew Lundstrom was going to start from the bench. That's blown up in my face, but what can you do? Jack Grealish, just a total master of Villa's fortunes in that Spurs match. I mean, he tried yet again to carry that team.
How Douglas Luiz didn't finish that chance in the first half, the one that he squared a ball to him and Luiz is just a little too slow.
He knocked it off of Ben Davis, yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. Yep. But Grealish, again, looked amazing, and 6 points from him, and he continues to tick along. I totally agree with you. Grealish is proving a season keeper. I think the big emotional moment for me thus far in game week 26 was Mane. So I've held on to Mane just because I couldn't convince myself who I would bring in for Mane. It was more mm-hmm. I wanted to do a double move. So I ended up keeping Mane, disappointed that he didn't start against Norwich, but that he came on and scored. Brilliant. Gets the yellow card. You end up with 5 points, and it's kind of a muted celebration with Mane. Yeah. I don't want to be sour grapes because he does get the one and only goal from that match. But now I really have to decide what I'm going to do with Mane going forward, because I'm pretty committed to keeping Salah, and the double Liverpool defense is just it's calling to me. It's so appealing.
Totally. Yeah, we're going to talk about that a little bit in a second here, too. I mean, interestingly, the players who did well for both of us are the same. I mean, the big difference is I had Firmino instead of Mane, so a 3-point difference there. And I had Stevens instead of Sidibe. So my John Lundstrom to Jack Stevens move did not go as planned. And just so frustrating. I mean, the thing is, I honestly don't think I would have started Lundstrom even if I had him. You and I talking about this at the start of the podcast, and I think I would have taken Lascelles playing almost a guaranteed 90 minutes at Arsenal over 15 minutes from John Lundstrom. He just happened to score in his window of time in that match. So, you know, whatever. We've all made transfers that came back to hurt us a little bit. It only cost me 6 points. I would say
move
on from that.
Did you not watch Jack Stevens during that Burnley match, though, and think, this guy is trying out for Sheffield United before our eyes? He was the most marauding center back
totally.
I've ever seen. He was involved in everything going forward.
I would be encouraged by that.
Yeah.
I was encouraged. He hit the crossbar. He had this incredible, he dribbled through like the entire team. And then the ball almost felt kindly to him too. They actually had to concede a corner because he was kind of bearing down in it. So yeah, I feel mm-hmm. pretty good about that transfer. I mean, I'm a little worried about Southampton and whether they're any good, you know? And so these moments happen sometimes where you look at your fantasy team and you're just a little too loaded up with players from teams that aren't that good. You know, where you're like, wait, why, how do I, you know, it's, you're like, I'm starting 11 players and 5 of them are on teams in the bottom you know, quarter of the Premier League. And so I guess Southampton are doing a little bit better. They had a nice little run, but they're still, you know, mid-table squad. And I'm doubled up on them. And, you know, Ings, I mean, he scored, which is great. I didn't think he was hugely involved in the match, actually. I thought the goal he scored was just a great just a sign of how his incredible form this season. But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, Ings is – I wouldn't say he's quite on the chopping block. Their fixtures are just too good for him to be dropped, I guess, is where I am. But I don't feel awesome about him right now. Even with that goal he scored, I feel like it's maybe – he may have to get sacrificed at some point. I don't know for who. Jimenez, I guess.
Jimenez, I think, even though he blanked this week, he still looked great. And like the Wolves' ability to find Jimenez in the box is incredible. And I hear you on Ings. The injury to Redmond is a little worrying too, because I think what was really coalescing at Southampton was Armstrong and Redmond and Ings all kind of like coming into form right at the same time, and then having support from James Ward-Prowse and the fullbacks, and it was just kind of working. And I think you put a little fatigue on that and then pull out one of the linchpin players, maybe it's Redmond, then maybe they're going to be less potent going forward.
A lot of admiration for Shane Long, by the way. I just love the way he like just puts his head down, you know, like he does. I feel like there's like a couple times a match where you just see him just like put his head down. And he's just going to run as hard as he possibly can, you know, try to chase down some ball. And it's, his work rate is incredible. Least as far as I can tell, just from watching him on TV, it just seems like he's just flying all over the pitch. You know, I don't love him as a fantasy player, but he's a really fun player to watch.
All right, so a few more matches to go. So there's really not much sense in us checking in on the Always Cheating Super League, but we'll update you with the top 10 at the end of the game week on our social channels. A quick reminder to everyone, and we're going to keep harping on this until we actually get to London, but Josh and I are going to be in England starting March 5th, and we've organized a listener meetup, just an FPL meetup, let's call it. And we're going to be at the Coin Laundry, which is in London, on Friday, March 6th, starting at 7 p.m. So if you're in London, if you're passing through, if you can make it from the surrounding areas, we'd love to meet you. There'll be lots of great FPL managers hanging out there just chatting casually. So stop by and have a beer with us and say hello. Again, that's Coin Laundry. The address is 70 Exmouth Market. It's not too far from King's Cross Station in central London. Friday, March 6th, starting at 7 p.m. We'll hope to see you there.
Yep. And I noted this when we came to the UK 18 months ago or so. But just a reminder, if you you don't have to be anyone who we've ever interacted with, talked to. You don't have to be a patron. Some of the people that we most enjoyed talking to at our last meetup, we were in the UK, were people who we had never, ever met or even talked to in any way before. It was just a good group in general. And so I know a lot of people, when they got there, they're like, oh, I can't believe I'm actually going to this, you know, fantasy podcast meetup, but it was all kind of people who you'd want to hang out with, you know. It was a good crowd. Yep. And so I think it will be again this time. I'm really looking forward to it.
Absolutely. So you mentioned Patreons there, so let's take a quick moment before we break and get into the heart of this podcast to thank our new Patreon supporters at the Volkswagen tier. Thanks to Miguel Maya. At the Lord Sorloth tier, thanks to Thomas Jack and Xavier Snowman, outstanding Xavier. And at the Pookie patron level, our new supporter is Lucas. If you want to support the cheaters, Josh and I, and what we do on the Always Cheating podcast every week, pay a visit to patreon.com/always cheating, where you can find out what you get in return, like an extra podcast every week, access to our Slack, extra leagues, swag, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, nice to get a new Volkswagen patron this week, Brandon, which is the Volkswagen patron tier is the sneaky best way to get an Always Cheating t-shirt. So that's just a little word of the wise there. So, all right, Brandon, let's take a break. We'll get back and we'll talk about who is actually worth a transfer. All right, Brandon, we're back. Who do you want to waste a precious transfer on, Brandon? Here we go. And so there's a few different ways we're going to attack this question. But I'm going to start things off with a question that I think ultimately ties in with it, because it's about, you know, what are you looking forward to? So Chancer says, and by the way, I feel like he makes it into like every podcast, but he asks the best questions, Brandon. If you ask great questions, you're going to get him like
smart guy.
Yeah, if you ask a question, you're gonna get on every episode of the pod. It says there has been a prolonged social theme of boring due to this extended game week. Flipping it around, what is interesting to both of you in the fantasy world right now? So, Brandon, what is piquing your interest? Maybe someone who you don't have right now, or a team, or I don't know. Maybe there's something else. What's piquing your interest in the FPL world right now?
Yeah, I like this idea of the theme kind of being boring. And the way I'm thinking of it, I mentioned it near the top of the pod about how it feels like we're in this transitional point of the season. Like, I'm imagining the medieval encampment of warriors the night before the battle, and we're all in our tents and huddled around our fires and sort of emotionally preparing ourselves. And I do feel like while we've been in this extended break, it's like we're almost like in this moment of rest, we're preparing ourselves for this onslaught of the home stretch that will be so important to how we end our season. So that's a way to really make it seem electric and exciting and important. But what precisely is piquing my interest? I think I know which team you're going to want to talk about. So I will just move my sights a little farther down the fixture ticker to Leicester. And I do think that a lot of our interest has really waned on Leicester. They've had a lot of tough fixtures, and they have an even tougher one against Manchester City coming up in game week 27. But after that, we're looking at game weeks 28 through 31, and it's Norwich, home Villa, away Watford, home Brighton. And if Leicester are going to get it back in gear and solidify their place in the top four, that's when it's going to happen. So I keep pushing my wild card option back and back and back. I'm like, well, I'll play it next week. But now I'm kind of feeling like if I play my wild card now, the temptation would be too great to dump my Leicester assets. And I'm getting kind of excited at the prospect of holding on to Soyuncu and Jamie Vardy for these fixtures. So I just want to flag that.
So just to make things clear here, your answer to what's making you excited about the fantasy season right now is not burning transfers on Leicester players. That is not where I thought you were going to go with that one. I like it. It's boring but honest. You know, I respect that.
Yeah. Well, what? I don't know. What do you think? Give me your answer, and maybe I can modify.
I don't know.
I try to be the practical one.
Yeah. Well, I'm not usually the positive one on here. I mean, what has me excited is returning to regular matches that'll take place. I mean, there's actually a bunch of Fridays coming up too, but just having matches on the weekend again. Like, we got through it. We got through the break. And by the way, you know, for the record, I am fully in favor of a break for these players. I mean, it's, you know, it goes without saying. I mean, of course, yes. You know, this is like, it's like when I get, you know, mad about college sports or whatever. It's like, if I thought the players could hear what I was saying, then I would be more careful. You know, like I would feel bad, but because it's just you and me talking, you know, and the Premier League players, the college basketball players, no one's going to hear us, you know? So it's fine. Like, I can complain, you know, it was annoying. It was 2.5 game weeks, spread out over 2 weeks. But I'm glad they got a break. I mean, I hope it leads to, you know, better football in the coming weeks. So yeah, returning regular matches has me excited. I mean, if I was talking more specifically about fantasy assets, I think that the North London team is both emerging with what looks like might be some actual reliable fantasy assets. I mean, it is crazy. We've talked about Spurs a fair amount just because of all the Sun drama. Feels like, you know, even go back to last season, right? I mean, he's had two red cards in the last, you know, 12 months, two kind of shot, actually three, because, you know, one of them was rescinded in the fall. But Arsenal, I feel like of all the years we've done this podcast, this is our fifth year now doing it, right? I believe fifth.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Correct.
It feels like, we have never talked about Arsenal less than we have this season. Barely talked about them. Maybe a little bit about Aubameyang on and off, but even then it's kind of like, wow, he's the third or fourth expensive fantasy asset that I would want on my forward line. You know, it was like, even when we talked about him, it was like, he's not quite enough for me to have my team. But now I think you could talk about the Arsenal defense as a possible option, remarkably. Son has achieved a little bit of consistency. Jamo says, you know, if Son scores highly when Spurs play bad, imagine how highly he can score when they play well. And therefore, should he be considered a core part of the template midfield along with KDB, Grealish, and Salah / Mane? I mean, you know, Son doing better and be more consistent, I think, is really makes him viable. I mean, I think the Spurs defense is that's a big no thank you for me, especially having gone through the Serge Aurier experience, through the ringer of Serge Aurier. Aurier.
The word calamitous comes to mind. Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Then I dropped. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. It's like it's hard to get the Spurs defense right, and so I'm just gonna stay away. I think Wolves. I'm sort of excited about having Wolves players in my team again. I have never ever in all the time I've done fantasy had Traore in my team, and he may come in as early as game week 27 for me. If not, I will almost certainly have him at some point. Certainly in game week 31, and so. That's kind of fun. I think I'm going to try to bring in Jimenez at some point as well. So there's a lot of, I guess that's part of it is like, I just feel like there are players who have like a little bit of a track record of consistency. I mean, I was at Traore actually doesn't fall into that category, Jimenez and Son and, Mesut Ozil scored today, Aubameyang. I think Aubameyang at this point, we kind of know how reliable he is. Right. I mean, we saw it, basically he's really very rarely had any kind of shallow period in any of his time at Arsenal, right? And he's remarkably consistent for basically from the time he joined in January of 2018. So, yeah, I guess the North London clubs both doing a little bit better have me kind of excited. To specifically answer Jamla's question, though, Son is like, do you believe that it's actually possible, but like, I still feel like I have bad luck with certain players. Like Callum Wilson is a player who I just never seem to have at the right time. And I feel like Son is that player as well, where I seem like I always get him when he inexplicably like stomps on somebody's fingers or something like that, you know? And you're like, how did I miss the 8 goals that he scored in the last 4 game weeks? And now I only have him for this right. finger stomping, you know, red card when I captain him. And so, yeah, who actually just as a quick aside, who do you have a bad luck player, like a player who you feel like you just never have him at the right time?
I'm thinking of Miguel Britos. This is a wild one, but a Watford defender. Like I've twice brought him in over the years, and I think both times he's either gotten a red card or done something particularly awful.
The Watford defense in general is a good answer, though. Yeah.
Yes, and I think a lot of people out there who have brought in the likes of like Kiko Firminez or Daryl Janmaat have had the same experience. It's just, it's never fun. It's never fun. I am pretty high on Son right now. And I think, so JMO's suggesting that even when Spurs play bad, Son is doing the things that he's doing. Some of the commentary I was reading too, I mean, I watched most of the Spurs Villa game. Most people were saying that Son himself was playing bad. It wasn't just the team around him was playing bad. And I agree with JMO in that you can't read too much into Son, how he performs in a particular match, particularly one where he scores a brace, because we know him from not just one match. We know Son from seasons of wonderful attacking play and FPL points production. So yeah. I think if anyone is going to lead the charge for Spurs on our fantasy teams, it will be Son. I mean, Dele Alli looked really good against Villa as well. He just missed a number of big chances, and that was unfortunate for any Dele owners. But I still think there is a case to be made where if you have Dele, maybe stick it out with him, because I think in the games where Spurs maybe steamroll, that Dele and Son could to a degree share the points.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, the comments about Son, I think were in some ways a reflection of the style that, I mean, it just seems to me like Spurs were pretty happy to play on the counterattack in today's match. And so, you know, when you're going to accept that you're not going to win the possession battle and that you're going to, I mean, and honestly, you probably the right way to play Villa, right? I mean, that team is not a team you really trust to perform effectively on the counterattack, right? I mean, that penalty they conceded was, you know, off a counter. I'm not even sure I thought that was a penalty, but you know, whatever. Let's not.
It was tight. It was a truly bizarre game for central defenders. So Toby Alderweireld, he scores the own goal, Howler, and then he scores the game tying goal. Then Bjorn Engels takes who was it? Bjorkvist down for the penalty. And mm-hmm. then he ends up scoring the tying goal again. And yeah. then he is responsible for Son's breakaway to finish off Estoril at the end. It's like it was a game of just catastrophe all around that resulted in a pretty exciting yeah. match. I would not complain. It was a lot of fun to watch.
It was a lot of fun to watch. It was a lot of pretty much all the matches this weekend were pretty sloppy, but this was at least sloppy. This is chaotic good, this particular match. And I feel like what is the opposite of chaotic good? I can't remember how that like scale works, but whatever that was the Leicester Wolves match on Friday night, right? That was like just, that was crazy, right? Until that red card, yeah. you were like, so it was a 75-minute snoozer, you know? It was such a dry match.
So can I pour a little yeah. water before we move on from Spurs? Pour a little water on this JMO's excitement. So is Son, should he actually be part of the template? Now let's consider what Spurs fixtures look like in the coming up. So they have Chelsea in game week 27, followed by Wolves will be back on their European journey, so to speak. Then Spurs have Burnley, Manchester United, and West Ham after that. I feel like those fixtures are kind of good, but they're not blowing me away. So a lot of it is going to come down to whether Mourinho can get Spurs playing at a more consistent level.
Yeah, I would say I don't see him as a must-own player or anything like that. I think it's like he's a good chasing player. You know, if you're 50 points back and you're just like, there's actually a question here. I think I put it way at the bottom, but I'll move it back up. I'll move it up here.
Promotion.
Yeah, promotion for the lightning round. Congratulations to Rachel. It says, how can I make my FPL season more fun in order to convince myself to keep playing this year? I think if you're really in the position where you're like, I just don't want to enjoy fantasy anymore, I'm just like, I'm not really enjoying fantasy, and you're really that close to checking out, I think the answer is to bring in players like Son and just start captaining them, you know, just ignore all of the other viable candidate, you know, just or whoever, you know, bringing on Aubameyang and start captaining him. Like, just it's not just the kooky transfers, it's the kooky captaining too that will really get you excited again, because you know, captain somebody who plays in the last match of the week, you know, if you captain somebody for that Monday night or whatever, you know, I don't know, like, I just feel, you know, captain Trent, you know, they play Monday night in game week 27, you know, like, all weekend, you're like, well, no one else is going to captain this guy, and it's the last match. And so all weekend, you sort of have something to look forward to. I think, you know, little things like that. What was my point? I don't know. That Son, right? So Son, so someone like me, like, I'm like 110K overall. I don't know, like 25 points back in our personal mini league, which is the one that I'm most interested in. I don't see a lot of appeal in having Son. I don't know that I totally buy him as a super consistent option. Champions League starts up here soon. There could be some rotation with him. He's traditionally been rotated, especially when the Champions League is a factor. So, you know, I don't know. And he's pretty expensive as well. So I think, you know, I mean, it's only 10 million. But like, if you had Mane and Salah, I would just keep both of them. You know, I don't see him as like a player who can sort of match their production, and certainly not De Bruyne. I guess I'm kind of with you. I don't know that I see him as like a super essential player, but maybe he's somebody if you just right. are looking to just be different, as someone worth, you know, considering.
All right, let's move to the other North London club, Arsenal. And I think we could play a game with Arsenal, Josh, where it's pick a player and say, do they qualify as a fun pick or a knee-jerk pick? So this question from Xavier, who asks, Arsenal looks like a new team in that second half against Newcastle, with fifth place all to play for and a fairly nice run of fixtures ahead, blank aside. Are any of their players in your sights? So fun differential or knee-jerk, Josh? Nicolas Pepe.
Knee-jerk. For sure. He's too expensive okay. to be a fun differential. As is Mesut Ozil, by the way. Oh, sorry. I'm jumping ahead here. Sorry. You name the next player.
Okay. Actually, I was going to stop at Pepe, but let's go on. Mesut Ozil.
Right. Mesut Ozil, a little too punty. I think it is a real crime that he is not 5.5 million. If he was 5.5 million, he would be such a fun player to have. But at 7.2 million, I mean, he's what, like $500,000 more than Jack Grealish. I mean, you can't have him.
Saka.
No opinion. I mean, it's $4.5 million. He started three of the last four. At $4.5 million, maybe. I don't know. But the problem is, like, are you going to run a transfer on him, or is he like a fifth bench player on a wild card? You know, he's not like a player you'd want to like start every week, I don't think.
Lacazette?
No. Moving on.
That's just a hard no. Bernd Leno?
$5 million. Too expensive.
Last one.
I can do this all day, Brandon. Keep going.
Okay. I've got one more for you. Cedric Suarez.
Cedric, isn't he injured right now? Is he? Did he play? He's out, right?
Yeah,
he didn't play today.
Bit of a joke shout there. Yeah, bit of a joke.
Speaking of
weird loanees that resulted in the January window, we have not talked at all on this podcast about Kyle Walker-Peters, who moved to Southampton, 4.4, and he's now starting on the right wing.
Yeah.
I mean, this is kind of a total tangent from our small discussion.
He just didn't do anything, though, you know? It would be nice if he like looked dangerous. Were you impressed by him at all in yesterday's match? I feel like he was kind of anonymous.
I think I could see him having one or two games where he does something near the end of the season. But as we mentioned, Jack Stevens is just, he's the same price, and he was oozing class, Joshua, oozing it.
So what's interesting, Brandon, is, you know, unfortunately, Arsenal, their pricing is, you know, their defenders would be, it'd be fun to take a chance on one of their defenders, but it was certainly playing, you know, significantly better since the managerial change. But, you know, and someone like Hector Bellerin would be really fun. He's got two clean sheets. He's played three matches in a row. He's finally back and healthy. Scored a goal, two clean sheets. Two bonus points in last week's match, but $5.4 million. It just feels like I don't have enough faith in this defense yet to spend $5.4 million on one of their defenders. You know, Luiz is still has that Chelsea price, and so he's $5.7 million. And they actually only played three players of the game classifies as a defender in game week 26. And so you had Luiz, Mustafi, and Bellerin, and then it's actually Saka who played as a left back, who you were talking about earlier, but classified as a midfielder in the game. So, and pretty attacking. That was how he was utilized by Emery. So it's interesting that he played as a left back, very Pep style. I like that. I like the creativity there. But you know, I mean, I you don't typically want to take a transfer on a player playing out of position, one spot back. You know, that's not usually the way you want to do it. So. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Is there anybody I guess I feel like I've done a lot of the Arsenal talking here. Is there anybody in this team that you're interested in outside of, you know, possibly Aubameyang?
It is only Aubameyang, and I think there's a lot of concern out there about still where Aubameyang plays on the pitch, and I'm just not buying it. On the season, he has 15 goals, which is sensational. I do think you get what you pay for at 10.8, and I'm sorry that it is that expensive, but I think it's worth it if you can squeeze him in. And considering the fixtures coming up for Arsenal, I think he's the best pick. And while Arsenal just had an amazing second half against Newcastle, I still feel like Arsenal is that team where you never quite know who's going to show up. And Pepe feels pretty cool. You want to build off of that second half performance, but there are no guarantees that it's going to happen. I think with Aubameyang, he's the only player that even comes close to having that level of guarantee. And I think he is like a bona fide pick for somebody who's chasing in their mini league or chasing overall rank, because those 15 goals show you he has the potential to take you above an Aguero owner, take you above someone who's just still relying on Vardy right now.
Yeah, very, very Son-ish. Yeah, I think the way I'm thinking about Aubameyang, I was sort of thinking about this as you were talking, is that he's so – I was listening, but I was also thinking while you were talking.
I appreciate that, Josh.
Yeah, hey, you're welcome. No problem. I was thinking that he is a perfect – because they're going to have at least one, if not two, double game weeks to come in the coming weeks. And so, well, you know, starting, I don't even know, I think game week 29 is the earliest we'd see a double from them, probably later. But Vardy to Aubameyang is a, like, very easy, almost like-for-like price move that you could make down the line. And so I think that's probably a move I and many others wound up making. But with this Game Week 28 blank, I think it's just you sort of to watch and wait. We'll actually be at the West Ham match in Game Week 29. So maybe I make that move then, Brandon. Captain him, maybe? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which I still have that triple captainship.
I love it.
Burn that there. Yeah.
I absolutely love it. We have never had that sensation of watching a captain score live in action. So that does sound pretty cool.
It does sound fun. Yeah. I know. And just looking at that game week too, I think Liverpool play Bournemouth at home. It's gonna be hard not to captain a player in that one, Brandon. But
yeah, right.
Now we'll see. All right, Brandon, let's move through a couple questions, maybe a little more quickly from here on out. Ben Lammer says, who is actually emerging as a mid-range midfielder, i.e. are Richarlison, Alli, Bergwijn, Pepe actual options? Anyone else that grabs the slot? So let's just run through these four that he named real quick. And we've already talked a little bit about Alli, talked a little bit about Pepe. Pepe's just too expensive. Bergwijn, though, we didn't really talk about in the Spurs section. Is Bergwijn turning your head at all? I mean, he's got the legs, doesn't he? I mean, that really great run to turn that penalty.
Yeah. In great dinosaur Moneyball speak, Bergwijn has a good body. He's got a good football body. He's got the
Bergwijn? Is that how you say it?
I think the commentators would say Bergwijn, but you know, it depends on where you are on the planet, Josh.
Okay.
It's always cheating is a pronunciation free zone. So do whatever you want.
Fair enough.
I like him, but it becomes one of those arguments of if you're gonna go in for Spurs or if you're gonna go in for any team like that, why not just pay for the better player? And I think both Son and Dele will prove to be better assets through the rest of the season. So while Bergwijn seems like a good player and he may have his moments, he's already had a few good fantasy moments, I just don't think he's the one you want.
Yeah.
And he's too expensive. With that in mind, he's too expensive for a coverage pick.
Yeah. It's like, just find the money for Son, right? If you're going to look that way, I agree. Richarlison, big no for me, just because the fixtures are about to get a lot worse. I don't really trust him either. No. Another player, I think he's almost exactly the same price as Bergwijn. Just a little too expensive to be a fun player to spend a transfer on. I mean, the player who's not listed here, who I am still the most excited about. I mean, Brandon. We talked about the red card in Friday's match, and that was definitely a factor in that match being a little bit of a snooze. But it was incredible how much more interesting that match was once Traore got added to it, right? Like, that guy is in just – I hope it lasts, because him in this form right now, it's like every – he has the ball all the time, you know, and he's just going, just taking everybody on. And it is super. I mean, honestly, him taking a player on right now is one of, like, it's up there with like how well the Liverpool forward line mesh at their best or whatever, in terms of like just like the most fun things to watch right now in a Premier League match. It's just him just going after people. And it doesn't always lead to anything. I mean, of course it doesn't. It, you know, never does. But it's kind of, it's like a little like, not, I mean, Eden Hazard is a very different player than him, but it has that quality of just like, once he has the ball, you don't really know what's going to happen afterwards. And that's just, it's just super fun.
Well, where I see the Hazard comparison is the one of the differences, I think, for Traore this season, he's started playing better, but it now manifests itself in this confidence that you can always see the confidence just like literally glowing off of him now when he gets the ball. It's like a star point guard getting the ball at the top of the key.
Totally.
Like, okay. Yeah. They want to isolate the defender and drive to the basket. Let's see what happens. And I'm with you. I mean, forget these 8 million pound players. I think Traore is going to be as fun and productive as any of them. So yeah, let's go.
Let's get it. Come on.
Spare a thought for Chaudhry, who I just have to get this off of my chest, but Chaudhry, just joke player. Please go away.
I think I wrote on Twitter that he's going to be a good player in like 5 years. It's like he's just got to play under control right now. Right now he's like a hockey enforcer. You know, he just goes out there and racks up yellows and he really hurt my season too, because that I had, you know, Salah for
injured Mo Salah.
Yeah, injured Mo Salah, and it was this like, you know, pointless, stupid late injury in that match, which lingered on and off for weeks and like 2 months to come afterwards, you know? So, kind of with you there. I don't have any particular animus towards him, but I just think he's too out of control to be on a Premier League pitch right now. All right. I am also, he says, are we concerned that the Man City news could cause mentality and focus issues for any FPL assets? You know, we talked about players we're excited about making a transfer for. Neither of us have mentioned any Spurs players so far. Does this news change your, you know, thinking on them at all?
No, it's much like what we were discussing at the top of the podcast. I think that it's not going to change City's mentality or focus at all. I don't think that they have really had the highest level of mentality or focus to begin with. So what's to lose? And in terms of what they're zeroing in on, league or Champions League, I don't think this changes anything either. They were always going to be going for the UEFA trophy anyhow. So, you know, I don't think it changes anything.
Yeah. If I was leaning towards Man City assets, maybe it stops that a little bit or halts it, you know, because I just don't know what we're getting with them. I'm not sure I did before, but now I feel like I really don't know. You know, I think Wednesday will maybe be a test and really interesting stretch, right? I mean, now the way things have worked out, they play Wednesday at home after not having played for 2.5 weeks or whatever. And then they play away Saturday afternoon away to Leicester. Really tricky match, even with Leicester's form not being as good as it was before. Leicester certainly gave them a tough match in the home fixture. And then just a few days after that, they play they play Madrid on the road and, you know, in Madrid. So I think it's going to be really tricky playing those three matches and I guess what amounts to 8 days. And I think we'll know a lot more after that, right? If they just, you know, if they come out and they, every match is a win, you know, or every match they look super good and competitive, you're like, okay, like they're taking this, you know, they're taking this personally, you know, and they're going to kind of be out for revenge the rest of the season. And that could be very good from a fantasy perspective. But if it's, you know, if they win, if they beat West Ham 2-0 and the Leicester match is a 1-1 draw and they lose 2-0 away to Real Madrid, you're like, okay, this is just like, this might be a stay away. Like maybe have some players for the doubles and just stay away from them otherwise.
Yeah, then Inter Milan can just sign all of them and it will be hilarious. all right, yeah. Next question comes from Shiv. How many Newcastle players is too many for their upcoming Sea of Green? We both are Lo Celso owners, is that right?
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
So that seems like plenty. I mean, their fixtures almost are so good that you I guess you could try to talk yourself into a like an Almiron or
no
Maximum Saint Maximum, but yeah, that's a stretch, right?
It's a stretch. Yeah. Just get Lo Celso, is 4.2 million. And if you need anybody, I'd vary between, you know, somewhere between 0 and 1 is where I'm coming in on the Newcastle question. I mean, the fixtures are good. I don't know. I mean, Almiron, just like, you just can't string together any kind of consistency, unfortunately. And it's too bad because he's a fun player and he's an ex-MLS guy and it'd be kind of fun to root for him in the Premier League, but it just hasn't happened. All right, two more questions before we take a break. Gabriel Castellano says, I have Jimenez and Ings. Who should be my third forward? It's a good question. If you're wildcarding right now, you had Jimenez and Ings as your two forwards, who would be your third forward?
Aubameyang.
Interesting. Yeah.
Though, well, I do, like, yeah, as I had mentioned, what I'm most excited about coming out of the winter break is Leicester. And, I mean, have I convinced you at all that Jamie Vardy could become productive again come game week 28 once they start that great run with Norwich away?
Yes. I don't know. It's interesting. If Aguero gets rested at midweek, I think I'll be really tempted to move Vardy to Aguero for this weekend. I'm kind of with you. I mean, he just doesn't look good, you know, and that's really the problem. He's not shooting at all. I don't know if that's like that, you know, how much he's not getting help from, you know, his teammates or whatever, but it would be nice to see him look dangerous in a match. You know, it feels like it's been like, I'm not sure in the calendar year 2020, we've actually seen him look dangerous in a match. And so you know, yep. And until he does, I think there was a, and I'm pulling up two questions, Brandon, the lightning round. So it might be a short lightning round today. SWAT says, when should we expect the Vardy baby celebration? How crazy is it? We're still waiting for that to happen. Oh, my God.
That's insane.
Yeah.
All right, I'm cultivating this theory about with Leicester. Watching them play Wolves the other day, they were late to every single ball. And this wasn't – this was prior to the red card as well. And they just I feel like they're probably one of the least fit teams in the league as far as I can tell. Just slow and not just not really any graft to begin with either. And it's kind of funny that, you know, a team with Jamie Vardy, you'd say that. But I do blame the players around Jamie Vardy not getting him the ball. And Harvey Barnes is probably the only one who is having a decent game these days. But Tielemans and Madison are both
Madison
just slow.
What's going on, man?
And it seemed like when Leicester got the ball in midfield, they just didn't really know where to take it. And Vardy's trying to run the channels and no one's looking for him. We need more Soyuncu just booting the ball up into the channel for Vardy to chase. That's what needs to happen.
That's true. That'd be a perfect goal combination. Brute
one
there.
Stuff.
Yeah. I think what you said earlier, and I feel like the subtext of what you were saying was they're too good to be this kind of blah for much longer. Mm-hmm. Like, they're a good team. I believe in this Leicester team. I think they're good. I think Madison and Tielemans in particular, the two players who just need to step it up. And that form can get rediscovered. You know, it happens all the time. People, you know, players rise and dip in form all the time. And so it does feel like it's coming, you know? And so maybe it is a road match at Norwich that finally ignites things for them a little bit, you know? I mean, who knows? And I don't know. It just feels like they just need that one match where everything clicks, you know? And they just, it's like they've really been the same since Liverpool scored like 27 goals on them, you know, when they hosted that was the famous Trent Alexander Arnold match, you know. Just like they haven't really been the same since then. And so they just need like to kick somebody's ass, and then they'll be worth considering again. So all right, Brandon, last question here. Paul Larkin says, I brought in Joe Gomez ahead of game week 21, and every week since then, he's outscored the player I captained. I would have 33 more points if I had captained him every week since then. I don't know how to feel about this. Not really a question, but worth thinking about. I think Joe Gomez, is he like the most underrated asset in fantasy? He's up there.
He might be. If the points tell that story, then yes. And I tend to go back to what I was saying about Bergwijn versus the rest of the Spurs midfielders. Why get Joe Gomez when you should just get Virgil van Dijk? But maybe you only have the budget for Gomez. He comes in, he does great. Why am I overthinking it? So,
yeah,
I think more to Paul's question though. You can't look backward like this. Drive yourself insane.
Totally. And he doesn't have a lot of goal threat, but he is a 5 million. He's 5.3 million right now. 5.3 million defender who has 10 clean sheets in his last 11 games. I mean, you gotta throw him a bone. It's impressive.
I will say, to look on the positive side, Paul, you made a great transfer looking back at game week 21, and it's worked out for you.
That's true. Look at the happy price. This is like Brandon. You'll get like a goal from your captain. You're like, oh, should have been two. All right. So, all right, let's take a break, and we'll get back and we'll answer our now shorter lightning round questions.
All right, we're now going to take a quick break to tell you about our sponsor, BetOnline.ag. BetOnline.ag, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all things sport. March Madness, the Masters, and Major League Opening Day are right around the corner. BetOnline.ag has you covered for all your latest news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. The best part, when you sign up, you receive a 50% welcome bonus. So head over to betonline.ag now and use our promo code BLUEWIRE. That's all one word, BLUEWIRE, to receive that 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. It's super easy. And if you're already into betting, it's a fantastic way to support the Always Cheating podcast. Again, the promo code is BLUEWIRE, all one word, when you sign up at betonline.ag. BetOnline, your online sportsbooks experts.
I'm excited, Brian. I think March Madness is coming up. I think it's finally time for you and I to spend a little money. It's not Michigan State, not them. They're terrible this year. But let's find our team. Maybe it's Gonzaga, yep. And we'll go for it. All right, we'll go to betonline.ag and we're gonna go for it.
Absolutely, go Zags.
All right, Brian, we're back. Lightning round time. As I mentioned, it's a little shorter than it was before. We had a couple questions about the winter break. I know we talked about a little bit at the top of the podcast, but I thought we could just answer these three questions. And, you know, we don't need to snark on it or whatever. It's just, it is what it is, right? We're kind of through it now. We're almost through it. And I think it's worth thinking about to the extent that we can change anything. You know, it's interesting to just sort of decide, you know, how we felt about it. And, you know, I think it will have, if it comes again next year, it will definitely change my approach as a fantasy manager. I was surprised at just how poor Liverpool looked yesterday. And people talk about the wind a little bit, but the wind was not, in my opinion, the key reason why Arsenal or why Liverpool couldn't string together more than like two or three passes. It was just, they just didn't look like looked like they were coming in. It was like game week one, you know, they just weren't ready to, they weren't at their best. And I think, you know, it's to be expected coming out of a long break like that. So, FPL Artistry just straight up says, is the winter break good or not? So what do you think, Brandon? Good or not? I know you talked about this a little bit on your kitchen table pod for patrons this week.
Yeah, for our supporters, I went off on one on our Patreon podcast last week, and I feel like the winter break is, it's good in theory, and that workforce, labor everywhere deserves time off to rest and recuperate and rejuvenate. But this winter break is bad because it seems to all center around broadcast revenue and the way they've staggered these fixtures. The broadcaster is actually getting more for their money, not less, because they have another weekend of football to show on TV. So it just seems like this, the idea of a winter break is meant to be for good, but what we have is frankly like morally bankrupt.
Yeah, I feel like if I were in charge and I did it again, first of all, yeah, I would just, I mean, let's assume that the TV rights thing is just such a major factor that there's just no getting around it. I do think if you had just done five in both game weeks and they're both Saturday and Sunday, so that the first one was one early match, one match at the usual kickoff time, you know, 10 a.m. in the U.S., 3 p.m. in the U.K., and then one later match, and then it was two matches the next day. I think even if you you know, if you did that on Saturday and Sunday, both game weeks, it would feel more like a normal game week. And the way that they've stretched it out over 4 days this game week and these, as you said, these 5-hour gaps between matches, it doesn't feel like the Premier League. You know, it feels like a, I don't even know what it feels. It feels like an exhibition or something. You know, it doesn't feel like
a PBS like pledge drive.
It's just not what I like about the Premier League. You know, I like the excess of it. And just in, like you said, maybe it's just like you can see the kind of like the dollar signs like a little too prominently in the way that it was spread out like this. And it just kind of feels like a cash grab. I mean, it's kind of like the International Champions Cup in the summers, you know, where you're just like, ugh, like, all right, like I see, right. I see where you're doing this and, you know, tickets are a fortune and you're just like, no thanks. Yeah. You know, and that's how I feel about that winter break too. Just like, no thanks.
Yeah. Like if you're going to do a winter break, just do it and make it clear this is a break. And then
totally,
it's good for people to see that it's a break and respect it. And we can all, we can find other things to do if we have to.
Totally. All the European clubs do it, outside of England. So, and it's fine, you know. Yeah, so it's just I don't love the way it was done. Chris Day Carey says, moving forward, are all post winter break game weeks going to be like this one? Maybe. I mean, you know, you're going to have high winds and dangerous weather in the winter. It'll be interesting to see if they still stagger it the way they did this week. I mean, I guess if you lived in the UK, these times are kind of fun because a lot of them are prime time. But yeah, certainly in the US, all these 3 o'clock matches and stuff, it's just like, kind of just made me feel kind of disconnected with the Premier League over the stretch.
Right. Yeah. If I had to guess, I would say it's going to look pretty similar next season, the winter break.
I think so too. And then finally, just to get, we had like, I mean, we probably had 20 questions about the winter break across the Slack and Twitter. So I want to throw at least a couple on here. Last one though, Benny Blanco says, is the slow, painful drip feed of games actually more frustrating than a clean break? I feel like we've already kind of answered that one.
Yeah, I think we agree that it is, you know, a clean break is what it is. We know how to deal with that.
Yeah.
This is just another beast. It's another level of pain.
Yeah. All right. So let's move on from there. Yeah. Not a huge, it's kind of like VAR, right? Not a huge fan, not expecting things to change very much. FPL Wire says, have you got a front seven that covers only the six teams you will see on tour? Can't beat those live FPL points. I wish we were on tour. We're just going, really. Actually, we're doing some stuff there. We can't really talk about it yet, but we are doing some stuff over there.
Yeah, there are more announcements to come on what we'll be up to when we're in England. But yeah, the three matches that we're going to see will be Arsenal-West Ham. That's Saturday. This is game week 29 we're talking about. So we'll see Arsenal-West Ham. So yeah, it'll be fun to get Aubameyang in for that one. And then on Sunday, we'll be at the Manchester Derby. So come on, KDB. I assume you're still not going to have Anthony Martial at that point.
I hope not. Yeah. Can't help me.
And then Monday, we're going to go see Leicester Aston Villa. So Grealish, Vardy, Soyuncu, Ricardo Pereira is someone who's starting to bubble up in my mind as a, if you really do want to make a move, try and chase points during that great run of fixtures. If you think Leicester are going to get some clean sheets, Pereira has looked pretty good the last month, I think.
Yeah, I wish it was a little cheaper, but I'll certainly have at least Sancho for that one if no one else. So I just got one player for those three matches. That'd be sick. No, I'll have KDB for sure. So that's at least two.
England to see matches, I think I don't remember having any players playing. So we saw Brighton West Ham at the Amex, and you were trying to talk me into getting Glenn Murray, and I decided to get Arnautovic instead.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And Glenn Murray ended up scoring, so I missed my first great opportunity to see
1-0, all three bonus points. Yep.
Yeah. Then we saw Spurs against Cardiff, and did you have Harry Kane captained in that match?
No, I didn't even have Harry Kane on my team for that one. That was a pure watch for both of us.
Right.
Although we were there with producer Nick Wright, and he did captain Kane, so that was a painful one.
Right. Our heart goes out to you, Nick. And then it was Fulham Arsenal, and that was just an absolute drubbing of Fulham. 5-1, I think the final score was, or 6-1 maybe.
Yeah, I think we might have had Mitro.
I don't think we had any.
Maybe Mitro. That was it. I think.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
We should at least. I think this year. I mean, given where my given the. I don't know. I'm probably just going to bring somebody in just for the fun of it. Whatever. It's supposed to be fun, right? So I think I probably have at least one player in all three of the matches. I mean, you know, maybe I'll just bring in an Arsenal defender and just kind of take a chance. Maybe I'll bring in Barron. Let's see. So those are the questions. Just quickly, Brian, looking ahead to game week 27. Stretch out over 3 days, although fairly normal. We have a Saturday matches, tons of them. Sunday, we've got three, and then Monday is Liverpool, West Ham. So I guess the question is, are you looking past, would you consider captaining anybody who wasn't, I don't know, probably Mo Salah in this game week?
Yeah, my armband right now is on Mo Salah. My vice captaincy is on Danny Ings, and I've just flagged Ings as an interesting option. I mean, much has been made about Southampton's woeful home form.
Yeah.
And yeah, sort of being beaten up by Burnley over the weekend has changed my thinking slightly about the Ings vice captaincy. But I think he's a Maverick pick. And I think if you still have Mane, as I do, that's another option to try and outwit the solid captainers.
Why not, right? I mean, he's definitely going to start that match, especially if we haven't been rested this week. If I were you, I would – I mean, I'm honestly saying this honestly. I would 100% captain Mane if I had him for this game week because, between those two, it still feels like a coin flip, doesn't it? I mean, I know he just got injured a little bit, but, I mean, unless one of them just looks remarkably better than the other one, in their Champions League match, I feel like you could just go ahead and captain either one.
Yeah, it feels good to know that Liverpool will have the Atletico Madrid match under their belt after Tuesday. A decent amount of time off between that Tuesday Atletico match and then the Monday kickoff at Anfield against West Ham.
Yeah, so no rotation.
Knowledge is power. Definitely going to watch what happens on Tuesday And yeah, that might be enough to have me switch the armband over to Mane.
Yeah.
What about you?
Mo Salah. Although I think Trent is somebody that, as I just kind of am looking for a little juice to my season two. I mean, I'm not like in getting checked out mode, but I do feel like I've been treading water for a few weeks now. And, I don't know. It's like, there's nothing wrong with staying the course, but I think I might try to be a little, take a few more chances, even like in these kind of microwaves. Like, I think captaining Trent in this West Ham match is really tempting, for example. I mean, their clean sheet record is remarkable. He is super attacking, always capable of getting goals and assists, probably a little overdue for some attacking returns. Mm-hmm. And so he might be somebody that I would consider captaining. I mean, looking across his match, I think Ings is a great vice captain pick. I don't know. Yeah, I'm trying to think of anybody else that I'm really excited about having. I mean, you know, one question for me is just whether I'll still have Martial for this Watford match. I mean, it's a home match against Watford, but if he looks terrible again, then he's gone. I cannot hold him any longer. And I think one of the biggest mistakes you can make in fantasy is holding a player who's not performing ahead of a theoretically plum match. You know, this is just like a mistake that we all fall into time and time again, just thinking that like a good home fixture is going to save your out of form player. And it just very rarely works. I mean, obviously sometimes it does, but it very rarely happens. And so if I were to make a move, I'd probably move Martial to Traore. As it is, I'm actually not planning to make any transfers this game week. I'm planning just to hold my transfer for game week 28. Hopefully only use one in game week 28 and then have the two for game week 29, because there's a chance. People are talking now about a possible double game week in game week 29, possibly with Man City. So we'll know more by next week's podcast. And so I don't really want, I didn't feel like it was worth talking about too much in this week's podcast, because I just don't think it's useful to speculate a lot, you know, and we don't really know what's going to happen, but might be worth, you know, if you're on the fence about using a transfer, maybe it's worth holding one ahead of game week 28.
You're telling me that I have to sit with Sidibe for one more week? Is that what I'm hearing? Because that's not what I wanted to hear, Josh.
Yeah. What is your, do you have any transfers planned? Anyone that you're thinking about moving?
Yeah. It would be Sidibe out. I'm kind of like painted into a few different corners with Mason Greenwood being my third striker, and I need to free up cash to do anything there. And, you know, the promise of Aubameyang, as we discussed, he'd be an interesting one for me to get in, but it would just involve at least a minus four, if not a minus eight. So,
and then I'm playing game like 28.
Yep, exactly. And so I feel like my team is kind of static until I play my wild card, because those are the real moves that I would want to make, with Salah, Mane, and Kevin De Bruyne lodged in my midfield. It's just money is just very tight and structured. So I need to shake it up with the wild card to get in a lot of the players that I want for the home stretch. And I'm just not convinced as to when I want to play it. So I'm just kind of at a loss right now. So Sidibe will be an effort to chip away, bring in like a 4.5 defender for him, just to help get me a little more cash on my way.
Yeah, maybe targeting somebody who has a good match in 28 too, just as a little bit of extra coverage. You know, I think that's always the problem. You know, it's Arsenal, Sheffield United, Aston Villa, and Man City don't play in 28, and so you know, what usually ends up happening there is you can usually cover it. You know, you're like, I think right now I only have two players, you know, who won't have a match in game week 28. But that also means guys like Brandon Williams, in theory, need to be starting for my team as well. You know, and so it is a little bit, it makes things a little bit tricky. And so if you can, you know, if you can keep one eye on that 28 match, maybe it's, you know, something worth considering. I mean, I guess, I don't know. I mean, maybe even Jack Stevens, right? Who's, you know, 4.4 million. They play West Ham in game week 28. That's not a bad fixture at all. So, and home to Aston Villa in 27.
I could do Sidibe to Jack Stevens, and then I would have just enough money, actually 0.2 more than I would need to turn Vardy into Aubameyang for next week.
Yeah, that'd be something to think about for sure. Yeah. I mean, I'm not even sure who else would be in that category. I mean, maybe one of those Burnley defenders, you know, if you kind of think that their form is improved enough to consider them. Yeah, I don't know. I guess another Sheffield United defender, that could be something you could think about too. You have the game week 28 blank issue there as well. So,
yeah,
interesting. Good, difficult decisions to come, Brandon.
I'd say so.
Yeah,
my head is throbbing.
Well, then on that note, let's end the podcast. If you'd like to support the podcast, please visit patreon.com/alwayscheating. Thank you sincerely to everyone who supports the podcast. It really does help us keep going and do this podcast every week. And it feels very good anytime we get a new patron. It also feels good that people continue to support the Patreon for, you know, multiple years at a time. And so it's not just the new supporters, it's the ones who stick around that really make it easy for us to do this podcast every week. But you can say thanks, get an extra podcast each week, get access to our Slack, private leagues, things like that. We also have producers that we want to thank, Brennan. And if you want to name our producers, I'd much appreciate it.
I'll name them one by one as quickly as I can. But the big thanks to our producers, Trevor Ingerson, Mike DiPietro, Chris Howell, Andy Penn, Chris Carter, Martin Savage, Brian T, DeBig Gaffer, Bobas Kuhn, Jeff Husby, Ben Grant, James Holland, Jazz Binning, Dave Wagner, Lodahl, Nick Wright, Jim Payne, Brian Chin, Blair Jacobson, Frederick Kian Gransky, Travis West, Alan Creasy, Victor Forberg Skoging, Paul Herzig, Kaya Christine Lalang, Stian Niehaus, Barry McGuire, Peter Bodektel, Andy Portlock, Toothless Gibbon, Andy Martin, Lindsay Rostel, Anton Markov, FPLmerch.com, and James Conroy.
Thanks also, so much once again. Oh, there's more.
There's more. I love what you said about Patreon, but just to anyone listening who you like Always Cheating, but Patreon is not your bag, something that's easy to do and free that also helps me and Josh is just to give us a rating and review wherever you get your podcast, especially on Apple Podcasts. A 5-star review and any kind words are super helpful for us. Give us a subscription on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, Acast, virtually anywhere podcasts are available. You can also find us on social media, on Twitter at Hail Cheaters, Instagram at Hail Cheaters, Facebook.com/alwayscheating. Send us an email at hailcheaters@gmail.com or visit our website for all this information and more, including the Always Cheating store, a link to the Always Cheating Super League to join there, all sorts of other cool stuff, links to all of our back catalog of podcast episodes, alwayscheating.com. Boy, we ran through a lot of stuff just then, Josh.
Very true, Brandon. A lot of stuff in this podcast in general. So lots of big decisions coming up, and hopefully this podcast was helpful. Even if it wasn't, Brandon, we're leaving now. So we'll see you next week. Thank you for listening. Talk to you next week. Hail everybody. Hail Poku. Hail Sorloth. Come back, Sorloth.
Poku forever.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.